You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Last week we started teaching on, we started out teaching on Romans 1 there, where it talks about Jesus, actually his two births, as it were. We don't often think about that, but Jesus was born twice. He eternally existed in the heavens from all creation. He is the Word made flesh, is what John tells us in the first chapter of John. It says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with Him. Without Him, the Word was not anything made that was made. All things were made by Him. And we know that. We know Jesus eternally existed as the Word, but He had a beginning as a man. At one point, the 14th verse of the first chapter, John says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We tell that story every Christmas, the manger scene, Jesus being born in the manger scene, born of a virgin. But actually, Mary wasn't the mother of God. She was the mother of Jesus. God had always existed. God became a man, something that had never existed. That's why we call Him Emmanuel, God with us. So that's one of the mysteries, when you think about Jesus and His deity and His humanity. And, they have a Christology is what they call that study, where you study Christ and the hypostatic union. Those are words you don't mean anything, but He was God and He was man. He was all God and He was all man. That's a mystery. I don't understand that, but the Bible says that I believe it. It's like a man said one time about Jonah being swallowed by a whale. And they asked him, they said, do you actually believe that story about Jonah being swallowed by a whale? And he said, sir, if the Bible said Jonah swallowed the whale, I'd believe it. God can do the impossible. Amen? Amen. And so what we have is Jesus, and He was born into the earth, born from a womb, as it were, and of a woman. Galatians tells us that in the fourth chapter. It says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem us. To redeem them that were under the law. And thank God He did. He came to redeem us. He didn't come just to teach us. He didn't come just to be an example to follow. He is that, no question. He didn't come, just to be a better guide. He is that, the best guide there ever was. He's better than Buddha, better than Muhammad, better than Moses in the Old Testament. He's a better guide, a better teacher, better prophet, better example than all of them. But Jesus didn't come for that. He did all that. He couldn't help but do all that because He's God in the flesh. But we didn't need a better guide to guide us, a better example to follow. We needed a better teacher to teach us. We needed a Savior to save us from our sins. He came to die for us. And that's what separates Him from all other religious, quote-unquote, leaders and prophets and false messiahs and false Christs. Muhammad didn't die for your sins. It won't be Buddha sitting on that throne. It won't be Muhammad calling us home. It won't be Hare Krishna playing that trumpet tune. It'll be Jesus, amen? Jesus is the one that came and lived and died for us. And one of the things I brought out last week, and I think we often forget this, is that we often see Jesus just as He walked in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We know whatever He did then, He still does today. I understand that. And we see Him as holy, no question, sinless, no question. We see Him born of a virgin, no question. He was all that. But I think we forget He's not on the cross anymore. He's not dead anymore. He's not in that tomb anymore. And that we need to see Jesus after the fact. We need to see Him as a risen Lord and a risen Savior, as a conqueror, one who holds the keys of hell and death. Hallelujah. Not a wimp, Jesus. Not one that we get. Your theology should not come from paintings. It should come from the Bible. Are you with me? Thank God for good religious paintings. But He's not a weak Christ. He's not a meek Christ. Oh, He came in meekness. He came in weakness. But I tell you, He was raised in power. And He's coming back in power. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And it says in Romans 1, 3 and 4, real quickly, because I know we went over this last week, concerning His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Everybody say according to the flesh. Now that's the man we follow in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's the flesh part of Him, the human side of Him that we see there. And I believe that Jesus did everything He did as a human, anointed by the Holy Spirit, for us to follow that example and follow suit. But Jesus didn't just come to show us how to heal and just show us, are you with me, how to live holy. He didn't come just show us how and empower us to cast out devils. He didn't just come for that. He came to die for our sins is what he came to do. That is all true and all relevant, and we should follow that example and abide that teaching. Are you with me? No question. We should be laying hands on the sick. We should be praying. We should be overcoming the devil. But he came to save us is what he came to do. He came to save us from our sins. Nothing greater than that. You know, the 70 came back in Luke 10th chapter. Remember the 17th verse says, even the demons are subject to us through your name. And Jesus said the 19th verse, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents, scorpions, over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Then he goes on and says, he said, if you're going to rejoice, rejoice not that the demons are subject to you through my name, but rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the greatest thing that ever happened, amen. That we're saved, we're washed in the blood, we're going to heaven, hallelujah. And we all have been empowered, no question. But the ultimate task and goal and mission of Jesus was to die for our sins and to rise again, and he did that. According to the flesh, he was of the seed of David. That had to be. He had to be a man. He had to be a sinless man. He had to be born from heaven to be a sinless man. And that's why his father was God, not Adam. Amen. He didn't have a father on the earth. He had a mother. Are you out there? Because the law required a male without spot, without blemish, be slain. The only problem was there was no spotless, blemishless males. And there are no blemishless, spotless males in the earth. All males are tainted. And all the women said amen. But it's been that way ever since Adam. Are you out there? Since Adam sinned, everybody's born in sin. 1 Corinthians 15 says, in Adam all die. But it goes on and says, in Christ all should be made alive. I love that. So we're all kind of death doomed, as it were, mortal. That's what mortality means. To be mortal is to be doomed, really. In the natural, in the flesh. But we've been born again. That's why Jesus said, a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So we who are Christians, who are believers, have been born out of Adam into Christ. And now we are in Christ, and if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, all things become new. So I may be one thing in the flesh, natural birth, but I'm another thing in the spirit, spiritual birth. Jesus himself was one thing according to the flesh, but the next verse, fourth verse says, and he was declared to be the Son of God, with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Hallelujah, somebody. So whatever he was in the flesh, he's really something else now in the Spirit. He is now a risen Savior. Are you out there? You know, I mentioned that song. There's a song. I heard somebody sing it years ago. I tried to look it up, and I couldn't find it except for an old country and western gospel group called the Barn Again Singers. True story. Anyway, so I didn't. I was going to play it. I thought about playing. But I listened to it. Man, it was so twangy. I mean, it made Dolly Parton sound like an opera singer. So I thought, well, I get the words. I actually heard it from a black lady singing it, and it was just real jazzy. But I didn't realize it was written back then. But it was a song goes like this. They asked Jesus who he was, and he was in the temple at 12, and they said, well, who are you? And he said, well, on my mama's side. You ever hear that song? You remember that song? On my mama's side, I'm Jesus of Nazareth. He said, but on my daddy's side, I'm Emmanuel, the Son of God. And then later on, you know, another question was asked, and he said, well, now on my mama's side, but on my daddy's side, I'm this. See, this is a revelation we need to get a hold of. Because really, on my mama's side, you are the flesh. You are one thing. But if you're a Christian, now you are a born-again believer. Now you are a saint. A saint is not someone canonized by the Catholic Church. God bless the Catholics. We're not anti-Catholic. We're for Catholics. But a saint is someone that's been made holy by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that had nothing to do with merit or works on your part or anything that you ever did. It had something to do with what Jesus did. Jesus made me a saint. Jesus made me holy. And on my daddy's side. Woohoo! Are you with me? I'd really like to grow up and look like my daddy. How about you? Wouldn't you like to look like your heavenly father, your daddy? But you need to catch that revelation. Jesus was born through a womb, but also he was born from a tomb. Now, we've had a womb birth. We've been born in the natural. We've been born in the flesh, but have we had a tomb birth? Have we been born from the dead? Because that's what happened when you got born again. You were born from the dead. You were born from your dead life. You were born from your dead state. You were born from your lost state, your mortal state. That spirit now works in the children of disobedience. That spirit now works in the world. We all had our part in that. We are all dead. He has quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. He's made alive. That's us. What a revelation. And Jesus started a whole new race, really. I mean, when you think of races of people, you know, we often think in terms of, different countries or nations. And we just have this problem, I think, in our country. We look at people in terms of black and white and Hispanic and so on and so forth. Well, listen, if you're an American citizen, you're American. It doesn't have anything to do with color. There's no such thing as black American, white American, Hispanic American. Are you with me? Asian American. It's just American. You're an American citizen. That's what makes us one. We may have another heritage as far as the flesh is concerned, but becoming an American citizen, you're becoming a citizen, and you have full rights as a citizen. It has nothing to do with your color. It has nothing to do with your previous race. That should make us common. Are you with me? Church should be the same way. There shouldn't be black churches and white churches and Spanish churches. Now, I understand that. Stay with me. I mean, I'm looking across here, and we're practically all, you know, white. A couple of my grandsons, where are they? They're children's church, yeah. I claim them, you know. Sissy's nephews, Christian and Isaiah, they don't look real white. But you know what? They're Christians. They're believers. Church is church. Are you with me? And we say that a lot. We'll say black church, white church, and blacks meet in churches and whites meet in churches, but, you know, it really shouldn't be that way. I remember Lakewood Church. Brent and I came out of Lakewood Church. John Osteen was our pastor for years. And there was black people, there was Hispanic people, there was white people. There was just a mix of everybody. You just saw all kinds of people there. You never even thought about it, you know. We just went to church to serve God. He's made us all one. Made us all one blood. Amen? In Christ. And I don't know why it is we have to bring in our past to our Christianity. We often bring in that old past. Bring in that old man. Bring in that old birth instead of that new birth. We see ourselves as sinners saved by grace. Well, that's foreign to the Scripture. The Scripture doesn't say we're sinners saved by grace. It says we were sinners, we're now saved by grace. Paul never writes to sinners. He writes to the saints at Rome. He writes to the saints at Ephesus, the saints at Corinth. In fact, in Acts the 10th chapter, y'all remember the account of Peter was at the house of Simon the tanner? They had tanning beds back then. You didn't know that, did you? Okay. Well, Acts the 10th chapter, there was this Italian named Cornelius. And he was a devout man, the Bible says, and he prayed and he gave to the Jews, the Jewish temple and so on and so forth. And he was praying and an angel appeared to him and he said, send to Joppa to the house of a man named Simon, a tanner, and there will be someone there that will give you words whereby you might be saved. That's always been significant to me. Think about that. Angels don't preach the gospel. We do. The angel didn't tell him how to be saved. That's your job. That's my job. Jesus said, go ye in all the world. So anyway, he sent three men over to this house. This is the 10th chapter of the book of Acts. He sent them to the house of Simon, a tanner. He tanned skins. Let's get that straight so y'all don't get twisted. And the Bible tells us that Peter was on the housetop, and he fell into a trance. About lunchtime, fell into a trance. And he saw a sheet coming out of heaven with all kinds of unclean animals. Now, he being a Jew, there are certain things he wouldn't eat that weren't kosher. You know, he wouldn't eat hog. That's probably pig on there. Are you with me? Probably catfish. Stuff like that you couldn't eat under Jewish law, you know. And the voice came from heaven and said, kill and eat. And Peter said, no, I can't eat. No, I can't eat anything like that. Nothing unclean slipped these lips. You know, I'm kosher Jew. And this is after the resurrection. This is the new covenant, see. Where there is no Jew nor Greek nor bond nor free, no male nor female, but are all one in Christ. And here's Peter still holding on to some of that old tradition. We can still do the same thing sometimes. Even Peter, it took a while to get that out of him. I just kind of call it redneck Christianity, you know. We got our little thing going, everybody else going to hell, we're the only one going to heaven. Hello, you know, we get exclusive about it, the way we worship and so on and so forth. Well, anyway, here he was, and this voice said, What God has cleansed, don't you call common or unclean. Y'all remember that? It's over in Acts 10. You can go read that for yourself. And the sheep came down three times. He woke up from his trance, and immediately there were three men at the door knocking, Gentiles. And the Spirit said, go with them. And then he began to preach to the Gentiles at that point. But I think it's significant here, we need to see this, that if God has cleansed something, what are we doing calling it common and unclean? If I call myself, now that's not to say I can't sin, because if I say I have no sin, I lie, the truth's not in me. But if I confess my sin, he's just and faithful to forgive my sin, 1 John 1. But to call myself a sinner is to call something that God has cleansed common and unclean. I really am a saint. It almost sounds sacrilegious to say it, but that's what the Bible says. And I didn't make myself a saint. He did. And I didn't work for it. He did. I didn't earn it. He did. But I am now a new creature in Christ Jesus. I am or I ain't. I'm a saint or I ain't. Are you with me? But to call myself a sinner that's saved, it would be in violation of that whole vision that Peter had, in violation of all Paul's writings when he wrote to all those churches. Do you think there weren't sinners at Corinth? He corrected them on some sins that were being committed there. One in particular was a heinous sin, as we would say. And yet he still called them brothers and sisters, and he called them saints. Didn't mean they were perfect, didn't mean they had everything right, but they'd been born again and hopefully working on their life. And it's no excuse to sin. Stay with me. I believe you need to live holy and be holy, but my holy living doesn't save me. Two of you got it. The rest of you are still wondering about it, but I want to assure you, Jesus still loves you. Amen? Amen. See, we are one thing by the natural birth. We're another thing by spiritual birth. We are one thing born into this world, but we're another thing born again. And the more time we spend on who we are born again, and the more time we spend on who we are in Christ, the more victory we're going to have in our life, and the more we're going to shine our light, and people are going to see Jesus in us. The more we're going to love, the more we're going to forgive, the more we're going to walk holy and overcome the devil. Are you with me? If we start tapping into who we are in Christ, walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Remember Paul talking about it? He said, the flesh wars against the Spirit, the Spirit against the flesh, and they're contrary one to the other. Are you with me? So you don't walk in the flesh. Just walk in the Spirit. You say, well, I just don't know if I could do it. Yeah, you can do it. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You're someone else now. Hallelujah. And Paul said this. Boy, I'm not doing real good jumping over all this scripture. I was not going to review. But I'm adding new stuff in. Is this helping you? Okay. And most of y'all didn't remember what I taught last week anyway, so it doesn't really matter. I'm kidding. But that verse we often quote, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The 16th verse says, Paul says this. He said, I don't know any man after the flesh any longer. I always thought that was just jumped at me when I read that. He even says this. He says, I don't know any man after the flesh anymore. Even though we knew Christ after the flesh, we know him that way no longer. That's what he says. That's 16th verse. And the next verse, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. And all things are of God, which has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and given us the ministry of reconciliation. Hallelujah. So you and I are somebody else now.
That's right.
I'm, you know, Michael Williams. I'm not old Michael Williams. That old Michael Williams died. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Woo! Hallelujah. But, you know, it takes time. You have to think about that, because we look in that mirror every morning and we hear everybody talking and we just think we're just like we used to be, and we're not like we used to be. We're somebody else now. And those same temptations come. That old past, that old mind, that old memory, you know, comes and we start giving in. And so you don't have to give in anymore. Jesus didn't come just to save you from the penalty of your sins. The Bible says he came to save you from your sins. You don't have to be so mean, okay? You can be nicer. Well, I've always been this way. Well, you can change. Well, my daddy, well, thank God for your daddy, but you got a new daddy now. I hope you had a good one in the natural. I hope you had a good family. It's nothing about your family. Thank God for your family. But see, you have to realize you are a child of the living God. Now, you and I are Christians. We're believers. We can live holy. We can live right. We can forgive. We can love. We can overcome sin. Y'all don't sound real excited about it, but you can. Forgiveness is great, but living holy is better. Are you out there? God is a great forgiver, no question. Doesn't matter what you've done, He'll forgive you if you come to Him, truly repent and turn from your sin. But it's a whole He'd a whole lot rather you not sin. Now, I'm not saying you're going to be perfect and you're going to reach that superman, superwoman status in this life, but you can get better. You can overcome. You can get better at overcoming sin. You know, and I'm quoting a lot of Scripture, I know, but and I'll turn to something here in a minute and let you look at it. In fact, I ought to tell you somewhere to turn while I'm doing this. Turn to Colossians 1. Just turn there. You know, as far as sin and forgiveness is concerned, it's pretty simple. Don't turn there, 1 John, but turn to Colossians. Colossians 1. 1 John 2 says, I write unto you, little children, that you sin not. Isn't that interesting? He says, now if you sin, we have an advocate, a lawyer, an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So he's saying that we have, 1 John 2 is where that is, if you write notes, 1 and 2, I believe is what it is. But the intent is not to say, okay, here's forgiveness, y'all come get it. We got a whole table full of forgiveness here. We'll be here next week too, y'all come back and get some more. You know, are you out there? The table's set. There's no question it's on a table. But God actually wants us to not sin. I write these things to you that you sin not. Now, if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Are you out there? So, you know, let's overcome sin. Let's don't play that game and say, well, God knows me, He loves me. Well, of course He loves you, and of course He knows you, and He knows you're wrong, and you need to repent. That goes over real big in this day and age, doesn't it? People will talk about grace in an unscriptural way. I believe in grace. I'm saved by grace. You're saved by grace. No one, you're not going to get to heaven any other way. But that same grace that saves me also is the same grace that empowers me. Grace is not an excuse. Grace is an enabler. It's a power. It's a force. Grace is not an excuse to sin. Grace is a power to overcome sin. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you. I got one amen on that one. But, I mean, think about it. Grace is not an excuse. Grace is a power. It's an enabler. It enables us to overcome. It's a force to overcome the devil. Hallelujah. Glory. Okay. Y'all found Colossians. Think about this. This whole new race that you and I are part of now, this thing called Christianity, this thing called the family of God, I don't think we dwell on that enough. I think we're kind of living in shadows, you know, and we hadn't come out into the light yet. We hadn't really realized who we really are. We're still kind of dabbling around in the flesh and letting the flesh pull us and overcome us and giving in to it, and we can overcome it. Hallelujah. We're enduring more than we should, and we should be overcoming. Amen. I think we're enduring what we should be overcoming. Are you with me? We're putting up with a whole lot more than we should, and there's some things we can overcome. You don't have to tolerate. You can overcome things in Christ. I'm not talking about being perfect. I'm saying you can rise above the level you are. You say, well, I feel like I'm in the first grade. Hey, nothing wrong with that. Everybody starts in the first grade. Let's just don't stay there. Let's go to the second grade. Amen? And I don't think you can skip grades. You're not going to jump from one to six. And, you know, but if you'll start at one, you'll wind up in two. And then before long, you'll be in the third grade. And before long, you'll be able to read and write. Hallelujah. Colossians 1. Notice what it says. Now, speaking of Jesus here, I want to make this point, if I can make this plain. It says, 15th verse, speaking of Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Firstborn of every creature. When did that happen? Well, that wasn't when He was born in the earth. Because there have been a lot of people born before then. Are you with me? He is talking about when He was born from the dead, when He was born from the grave, in the resurrection. That's when this new life started. This is when this new family started. He was the firstborn from the dead. He was the firstborn from the grave. You say, well, he raised Lazarus from the... Yeah, but Lazarus was raised and he died again. Jesus never died again after that. Jesus was raised from the dead, a new creature, a new person. All of a sudden now he's walking through walls. All of a sudden he's glistening like the sun, so much so that when John saw him in Revelation 1, John fell down on his feet. I fell down on his face. The breath left his body like he was dead, and Jesus had to pick him back up. He appeared a little differently after the resurrection. Are you with me? Now, he still has a body, but it's a glorified body. He still has arms and legs, but he is the first new creature. You might say the first born again man. The first born among many brethren. I'm not making these words up. This is the Bible. Are you with me? So you know, if you have some denominational ears that are burning right now, just listen to the Bible. Just listen to the Bible. Amen? We need to take our glasses off anyway. Traditional glasses, and let the word speak for itself. Thank God for churches. We're pro-church. Thank God for people that love God. A lot of people have different ideals about some of this. If you believe in Jesus, you're going to heaven. Are you with me? You don't have to have everything right to go to heaven. You may disagree on certain points about Scripture. A lot of churches do. We have First Baptist and United Methodist and Assembly and Followers of Christ and Church of Christ. And I believe they're all Christian. I believe people there love God and go into heaven. We disagree on different points, but we agree on Jesus. I know when we all get to heaven, they'll find out I'm right. I understand that. Y'all stay with me. I'm not that delusional. But anyway, 15th verse says, "Who, speaking of Jesus, is the image of the visible God, the firstborn of every creature." Now, I submit to you, we'll see that in Scripture, he's talking about his resurrection. He's not talking about the birth and the manger scene. He wasn't the firstborn into this world. There's a lot of people born into this world. But he was the first born again man. He was the first born from the dead. Amen. Not raised from the dead, just a resurrection, but I mean a birth, a new creature. Let's read on. 16th verse. "For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible. Whether they are thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." Now that nails it, doesn't it? He's the firstborn from the dead. Y'all out there. You know, when we read that scripture, it says, In Romans 1, 3, and 4, it says, "According to the flesh, he was the seed of David, according to the flesh, but the Son of God, according to the power of holiness, by the resurrection." And you remember that fourth verse? We just read it. He was the Son of God by the resurrection. Now, he was God, no question. We understand that. God became a man. That's a great mystery. But he did what he did as a man. And then he died as a man. He didn't die as God on the cross. God didn't die on the cross. Jesus, the man, died on the cross. And Jesus, the man, was born again from the dead. You see, the God part of Jesus can't die. And it wouldn't do you any good if he could. Think about it. Man got us in this mess. Man had to get us out of this mess. Man sinned. And the requirement of the law was that a male without spot, without blemish, be slain, and that blood be laid upon the altar of God. We saw that every year in the Old Testament, types, shadows, symbols, looking to Jesus. But Jesus comes along now. He's not born with Adam's sin. He comes from heaven. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, the Bible says. John saw him and said that. And so he died as a perfect, sinless man. Woo! Great mystery. He's still God. But as a perfect sinless man, he dies for our sin. He's the Lamb. Yeah. He does it one time. He doesn't do it every year. He forever makes good our salvation. And when he rose from the dead, he sat down forever at the right hand of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Waiting for a trumpet sound to come get us. Hadn't sounded yet, but it's going to. Hallelujah. But see, he, this perfect man, the perfect Lamb, the sinless Lamb, died. But he didn't stay dead. He didn't stay dead. You know what he said, his last words on the cross? "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" God turned his back on Jesus. Why? Because God poured our sin on him. Not his sin, our sin. Jesus never sinned. And Jesus didn't die with his sin. He died with our sin. The Bible says, to him who knew no sin, he became sin for us. He was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Wow. Where was he made sin? On the cross. On the cross, God poured on him all of our judgment and all of our sin, and he died. The man, not God. The man died. And that was it? The end of the story? No, that's not the end of the story. Sunday came around. Aren't you glad for Sunday? Sunday came around, and the man came alive again. Behold, I am he that liveth and was dead, and am alive forevermore. Hallelujah. What happened? He was born again. He was born from the dead. He was the firstborn, not the last one. He started a whole new race that you and I are part of called Christianity. And now everyone that's born again are part of this great family, and our elder brother Jesus is the firstborn. He's the first fruits from the dead. And you and I have been born from the dead to die no longer. Oh, this body may die. They may kill this body, but not me. No, sir, I'm going right on into glory. I'm going right on into heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, is what Paul said. He said, I'm in a strait betwixt the two. He told the Philippians, he said, whether to stay here, which is far better for you, or go on and be with Christ, which is far better for me. He knew that when he left this body, he's going straight to heaven. When they stoned Stephen in Acts the 7th chapter, he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Oh, they laid his body in the grave, but his spirit went right to heaven. Why? Because the devil couldn't hold anybody's spirit any longer that knew Jesus as Lord and Savior, because Jesus went down there, as we say in East Texas, and whooped the devil and got the keys of hell and death from him, and he arose victorious, and he says, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of hell and death. Woo! He arose as the firstborn from the dead. And he... You know, you can take a boy out of East Texas, you can't take East Texas out of the boy. I mean, they have fits of me all over the world. I mean, I've been to Australia and South Africa and Great Britain and Wales and El Salvador and Guatemala and Mexico. And, well, I've been up north even to Michigan and Pennsylvania. I've had them question me, what is it? What did you just say? And I'd say it again. You know, I have to interpret a lot, you know. But anyway, the reason the devil flees when you submit to God, I'm going to tell you why he does. This will help you, I think. I hope. If it doesn't, put it on shelf. But I believe that the reason the devil flees when you pray and you believe God and you get on your knees in Jesus' name, you start using the name of Jesus, is that he sees it all over again. Because what happened in that grave, what happened in hell, as it were, was Jesus was born again and overcame the devil as a born-again man. Now, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But you need to find out why. You need to ask yourself, why would that be a wrong statement? Jesus overcame the devil as a born-again man. The devil thought he'd killed him and done away with him. He thought he just buried him, and actually he planted him, and what you plant comes back up. You know, that's why we put those headstones on those graves. I love that. I heard a guy say that one time. You know, if you're a farmer or you got a small garden, farmers don't do it so much, but small garden, you put a stake at the end of the road, you know, and you put a picture of what you want it to be, you know, what you believe it's going to be, what you hope it is. You planted that. And you put a stake saying this is what's going to come up. Well, that's why we put those headstones on those graves, because that's who's coming up. We're just marking the ground. We didn't bury anybody. We just planted them. When that trumpet sounds, they're coming back out of that grave. What's coming out of that hole? Well, look at the marker right there. That's who's coming out of that one. I like that. That's good, isn't it? We're coming back up. Woo! And we got all those graves marked because we know what we planted there. And that's all the devil did was plant Jesus. He just thought he buried him, but he planted him. Hallelujah. And he is the firstborn from the dead. Oh, my goodness. And we are, hey, real quickly, a couple verses and I'll wrap this up. I'll get you out by 12 and we'll beat the Baptists to Brookshire's. God bless the Baptists. Hebrews 12. Turn there real quick. Hebrews 12. Are y'all getting this? Is helping you? Amen. You know, understanding this, I know it's kind of a theological thing, sometimes a little deep. But we can make it deeper than it really is. But understanding this helps us understand who we are. You know, we're not just old Michael Williams. I'm not just the Williamses. You know, they always did this, and my daddy did this, my mama did this. Well, thank God for mom and daddy. But, you know, I am a new creature now. I don't have excuses now. I have reasons to overcome now. I have reasons to live holy now. I have every reason to change. And you can change. And you can change. Every one of you can change. You're not doomed to repeat the failures of your past. You're not doomed to repeat those sins over and over again. You're not helpless. You're not hopeless. You're a child of the living God. And greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Amen? You're a new creature now. You're not lost. You're saved. That means something. I'm born again. That means something. We're not looking down on people that are lost. We're not saying we're A-rate and they're B-rate because they just need Jesus just like you did. So we're not snooty about this. Are you with me? We're praying for people that are lost to be saved. We're not saying we're better than they are, but we are saved and they are lost, just like you used to be lost and now you're saved. So quit acting like you're lost. Start acting like you're saved. We do fine until I ask you to do something. You ever notice that? As long as it's abstract, it's fine. But when we say, okay, now you need to forgive somebody, it gets real quiet. I'm the same way. Come on. But we got to do this thing. Amen. It's the doer of the word that's justified not to hear. So we got to do it. Okay. Where did I turn to? Hebrews 12. Notice 23rd verse. And he's talking about we don't go to Mount Sinai. We're coming to the Mount of God. Now, not where the law came, where grace is. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're born again. We're Christians now. And he says, we have come, 23rd verse, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. Church of the firstborn. That's what this is. The church of God at large, whether Catholics and Baptists, Methodists, whether if we're Christians, if we're believers, we're part of the church of the firstborn. Who's the firstborn? Jesus. He's the first Christian. If that makes any sense. You know, he was the first born again person. You say, well, I'm still struggling with it. That's okay. I got some more scriptures. Turn to Acts 13. Man, oh man, this is good stuff. Acts 13. I think I'll just turn there. I had some notes here, but I just want to. Here is Paul preaching. Acts 13. And he says in the Acts 13. I want to get in context. Okay, well, let's just take the 30th verse. God raised him from the dead. Who's he talking about? Jesus. Okay. He was seen for many days by those who came up with him from Galilee and Jerusalem, who were his witness. We are his witnesses to the people. And we declare to you the glad tidings, that promise which was made to the fathers. God has fulfilled this for us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus, as is also written in the second Psalm, you are my son, today I have begotten you. When was he begotten?
Today.
What day? Day of the resurrection. Whoa, wait a minute. I thought he was begotten when he was born in a manger. No, that's not what it says. It says he was begotten when he was raised from the dead. That's when he became the firstborn from the dead. That's when he came the firstborn of all creation. The firstborn again man. Did y'all read that? Okay. Let's read it again. God is 33rd verse. God has fulfilled this for us, their brethren, in that he has raised up Jesus. The whole point is the resurrection. He raised up Jesus. That makes him different than anybody because he didn't stay dead. He came out of the grave. He conquered death. He conquered hell. He conquered the grave. He's got the keys of hell and death. That's where he appeared to John in Revelation 1 and said all that. He said, behold, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of hell and death. And Paul plays off that and calls him the firstborn among many brethren. And right here he says, God has fulfilled this for God has fulfilled this for us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus, as it is also written in the second psalm, you are my son, today I have begotten you. Wow. You know, the resurrection changed everything. Not the death on the cross. Oh, that was part of it. But if it stopped there, we'd still all be dead. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, if Christ be not risen, we're dead in our sins, and our faith is vain. But it didn't stop on the cross. It didn't stop in the tomb. Jesus was raised from the dead, and he's the firstborn, not the last. The firstborn from the dead. See, Adam got it all backwards. Adam was born righteous and then born again in sin. He died to sin. You and I were born in sin and then born again righteous. Y'all get it? All of us were born in sin. Unless we're born again, we're never going to be righteous. But we're born again righteous. The righteousness of God. Amen? Well, you say, well, Jesus, was he born into sin? Well, no, he wasn't born into sin, but he took our sin on the cross and died. And that's the only way he could have died. See, they couldn't kill Jesus. There's no way to kill Jesus because he had no sin in him. It wasn't until God poured our sin on the cross on him and turned his back, because God can't look on sin. That's when Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And Jesus took on our sin and died for our sin. Surely the chastisement of our peace is upon him. By his stripes we were healed. That's what Isaiah said. Our sin's what he bore. Our sickness is what he bore. Our pain, our griefs, our sorrows. And by his stripes we are healed. Woo! That's good stuff. Amen? Hallelujah. Now what does that say to us? Well, come back next week and we'll talk about it. Unless Jesus comes before then, then we'll talk about it in heaven. Hallelujah.